Just like every year, this is not going to be a shiur, just learning through the Gemaras out loud, because you're not supposed to hold public shiurim on Tisha B'Av, certainly not Tisha B'Av night. And we'll just go through, I'll just read through some of the Gemaras out loud, and you're welcome to follow along or listen along. It occurred to me that in previous years, we never ever finished the Churban Agaditas. They start in Gittin on Daf Nun Hey Amid Beis, at the bottom of the page on Nun Hey Amid Beis, with Amar Rabbi Yochanan. But we've never gotten really past Daf Nun Zayin or so. So it finishes on Nun Ches Amid Aleph, I think. Yeah, at the bottom of the page on Nun Ches Amid Aleph is where it ends. So it occurred to me that maybe it's a good idea to start a little bit later. We're already very familiar with the other Gemaras, but I don't think we've ever seen the last daf of the Churban Agadita. Again, I haven't looked at it this year yet. We'll look at it together for the first time. And maybe we'll be able to draw new chizik or new messages and ideas related to Churban, and hopefully related to that which can bring the Geula. So maybe we'll start from the very top of the page and daf Nun Zayin Amid Beis. I think that's as far as we've ever gotten. The top of Daf Nun Zayin Amid Beis. So the Gemara tells us that Nevuzradan killed a lot of Jews in the times of the Churban Bayis Rishon, and the Gemara starts reporting some of the events that transpired in that context. So Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Ravin, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, top of Nun Zayin and Beis. Rabbi Chiya bar Ravin says in Yeshua ben Karcha, Sach li zaken echad me'anshi Yerushalayim, that one of the zakenim who used to be from the Anshe Yerushalayim told me the notion of Anshe Yerushalayim. You know, that's something that comes up a lot in Shas, that there's a concept of Anshe Yerushalayim. You have people that come from other places, but I don't know if you have people described in that way as a group, as like Anshe Yerushalayim. There's something about a Yerushalmi Yid that's just fundamentally different, that's qualitatively different than other types of Jews. So he said, one of the Anshe Yerushalayim told me, "B'bikazu haragnu v'zradan rav tabachim," that in this bika, in this valley, the chief butcher Nevuzradan killed, he was the general under Nebuchadnezzar Melch Bavel, Masayim va'achas esrei ribo. So how many is that? 211 times 10,000, which is 2,110,000 Jewish people. It's always stunning to think of the numbers. You know, sometimes you just read through the numbers. Okay, I figured out. 211 times 10,000. Okay, so it's 2 million. That we've suffered such churbanos. And that the Holocaust was three times that. It's hard to wrap our minds around the numbers. That Rabbi Lau tells the Maisa, Chief Rabbi Lau tells the story. It's not a story for these people. It's an experience. It's a haunting, haunting experience of how he remembers like cranking his neck to be able to see his father, as his father, who was the rabbi of the town, was taken away together with many of the other men of the town to Treblinka. And then all of the women and children were sent to the main shul, where his father had said so many drushas. And it was late at night. They were alone in the shul for a day or two. And then Nazis came in. Two of them stood at the door with little lamps in their hands, because it was dark in the shul. It was the middle of the night. And they started saying, "We're going to read out names. If your name is called, go home." and they started reading out names. I think her name was Chaya, his mother. Chaya Lau. And she didn't budge, she didn't move, because she wasn't going to move until her two children that were with her, Rabbi Lau and his brother Shmulek, until their names were called also. And their names weren't called. Then when they finished calling the names and they saw the people that went through, just like this narrow entranceway that they let people get through to get out, and they said, someone didn't respond. Someone didn't go when we called their name. Schnell, Schnell. And she says, oh, it was me. And she tries to hide both of her children under her dress. And she doesn't even have to say anything to them. They know they have to be absolutely silent. And she starts walking sideways to try to hide them, try to sneak them through as the guards are distracted. And Yisrael Meir was in front of her, but tight onto her body, like as if they were one person. And Shmulek behind her also, latching on tight. But the entranceway that they left was so, so narrow that you couldn't go through three at a time. And Yisrael Meir got out, and she got through the doorway, and then the guard noticed a movement behind her and realized that there was another person behind her. And he threw Shmulek to the ground. As Mrs. Lau was shoved out of the room, escaping with Yisrael Meir. The next day, Shmulek was sent to Treblinka. And Rabbi Lau always says, why was I in front and Shmulek in the back? And he has 1,000 stories like that. Every survivor has 1,000 stories like that. If I would have been one step over, if I would have been in a slightly different location, if I would have been just... Why did I survive? And the inescapable conclusion is that the Ribbono Shel'olam selected him to survive. The Ribbono Shel'olam knew maybe that the state of Israel would need a chief rabbi one day who could relate to all different kinds of Jews, who can inspire so many different people. Maybe he was uniquely qualified to be a leader in that generation. But he was selected. When you read Gemaras like this, of these numbers, so why was it our great, 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 great grandparents who weren't among the 210 Rebo, 211 Rebo, the 2.1 million people, and again throughout history, our ancestors were chosen by the Ribbono Shel Olam to still be here, so that we could be here. And you realize that there's a big responsibility in being a Jew who's made it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a promise to the Jewish people that the Jewish people will always survive. But there's no promise to a Jewish person. As we've seen over and over and over again, It's not survivor's guilt. It's survivor's responsibility. It's a different kind of feeling entirely. We're not guilty. We were chosen. We have a mission. And we have to figure out what that mission is, what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants from us. What can we do? Why were we chosen over so many Kedoshim and Tahorim to still be here? But all of us, we're all survivors, because we're all descendants of survivors. when Europe was burning and the word was coming, was making its way toward Eretz Yisrael of just how bad things were, in 1944 there was a meeting of many of the Rabbanim, and they realized that what was happening. There was no Torah in America, very little Torah in America. All the major Torah centers of the world were in Europe, and they were all gone. The support for the Israeli yeshuv that used to come from Europe was obviously not coming anymore. And the responsibility, the all, of what are they going to do now? And it was like this morose, somber, terrifying meeting with some yeshiva students, some Russia yeshiva, some rabbanim. And Panovich Rav was there. And he got up, and this was the first time most of them had ever heard him speak. He's a uniquely capable person. And he said, "We were chosen. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a promise to the Jewish people that the Torah will survive and the Jewish people will survive. That means that with all odds against us, we're going to have incredible siyata d'shmaya in rebuilding Torah. We just have to make it happen now. We have to put in all the shtadlus we can to rebuild an incredible amount of Torah communities in Klal Yisrael that had been around for centuries that are lost now, and we have to rebuild all of that, but we're going to have siyata d'shmaya in doing it because Hashem promised us, because we were chosen." And they said that at that point the whole mood just changed, not of survivor's guilt but of survivor's responsibility. So Nevuzrad and Rav Tabachim killed Masayim v'achas Esri Ribo. That's just in that bika. Uvi Yerushalayim harag tishim v'arba ribo. And in Yerushalayim he killed 940,000 Jews. Tishim v'arba is the gematria of damim. Ben Yoyada writes, "Bedamim bedayim bedamim nagau." That the damim of these 94,000 touched the damim of Zechariah. Al even achas, ad shahalach dama benaga bedamo shel Zechariah, till the blood of these that Nevuzradan killed rose to the Azara in the Beis Hamikdash and went and touched the blood of Zechariah ben Yehoyada HaKohen, who was killed in the Azara. These murders were in a bika. A bika is a valley. And it was so much blood. So much blood. That it rose up the Harabayas until it reached the Azara and touched the blood of Zechariah HaKohen. V'kayim mashenemar v'damim v'damim nagau. Damim is plural. It should have been v'damim, 940,000 people's blood. B'dam, in the blood of Zechariah. But it's v'damim b'damim nagau. The pasuk says in Parshas Bereishis, "Kol demei achicha tzoakim." When Cain kills Hevel, Hashem tells Cain, the bloods of your brother are crying, are screaming out to me. And the Gemara Sanhedrin says it's Dmei and not Dam, because it's not only Hevel, but it's Dam Zarosov as well, all of the children that Hevel would have had also throughout all the generations that are now lost. that are now never going to be born. Zechariah also. It's not just dam. It's damim bedamim. To even imagine that amount of blood, I mean, would that even happen? Liquid goes, it always goes to the lowest place. Like, there's nowhere for it to seep into the ground. There's nowhere else for it to flow. For it to rise. It's a miracle in the worst kind of way. It's reminiscent almost on the very location where the Gemara in Pesachim describes that on Erev Pesach the Kohanim were walking around knee deep in blood, but that was blood of Karbanos, that was the blood of all of Klal Yisrael coming to serve the Ribono Shel Olam. The Gemara says they counted the number of they took a kidney from each karban to keep count of how many karbanos were brought. And they counted kiflayim ki yotzei Mitzrayim. All of the Jewish people, each karban Pesach, had many people associated with each karban Pesach. Because you only need to eat a kazayis of the meat. You're not allowed to, you can't eat beyond satiation, you can't eat achila gasa. So they had like a whole family or multiple families on each karban. You had the carbon chagiga to fill you up. You just needed to make sure you had a kazayis of the carbon Pesach. And that's how many people were coming to serve Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash. And now in that very same location, it was the dam of those who served Hashem. It was the dam of the Jewish people that was spilled. So Gemara tells us, it continues to tell us, about the nekama that Hashem took on account of the killing of Zechariah HaKohen. Ashkechei l'dami de Zechariah. So Nevuzradan found the blood of Zechariah, davakam martach v'salik, that was boiling up, it was boiling over. You would imagine it would have been batel, the blood of one person mixed with the blood of almost a million people. But Zechariah's blood was boiling and it wasn't batel, never became batel b'shishim, not be'elef, not beribo. And it continued to boil and was still identifiable. So Amar Nevuzradan said to the Jewish people, "My hai, what's the story with this blood? Amru lei dam zvachim di ishtapuch. It's the blood of karbanos that were spilled. Normally we're supposed to take the dam, we're supposed to be zorik on the Mizbeach, but we weren't zorik on the Mizbeach, and because we weren't zorik, so Hashem got angry, and that's why the blood is boiling. Yeah, we just didn't do a mitzvah to say that you're supposed to do of zrik al gabi ha Mizbeach." Nevuzradan didn't buy this story. I see demei velo idamu. He brought blood of behemos, and he saw velo idamu. The blood of behemos didn't look like this blood. That right away brings to mind Yosef HaTzadik, no? The blood of behemoths doesn't look like blood of human beings? Didn't the Shvatim know that trick? That you take a Seirizim and they could shecht it and dip Yosef's coat in it and it's going to look exactly like Yosef's blood. Why didn't it look like goat's blood? It's difficult to understand. It could be that this was a miracle also. That Hashem wanted it to be clear. He wanted Nevuzradan to find out. He didn't want them to have the ability to cover it up. Maybe that's why they said it was animal blood, because they thought that it would look exactly the same. And then Hashem made a miracle and it didn't. And it's so interesting. The Gemara, in Agadot, it always speaks poetically. It's Aisi Dmei Velo Idamu. Velo nira kamoso, something like that. It didn't look like it. Velo idamu. It's like velo idamu means dome, similar, but we use the term dam, velo idamu, with the dalit and the mem. It's not dam, that's not dam. The animal blood is not the same as human blood. So Amar Lahu, Nevuzradan said to the Jewish people, Yom Risali, if you're going to tell me whose blood this is, mutav, that's fine. V'ilav, and if you don't, Masrikna Levisaraychu b'misriketa parzala, I'll take iron combs and I'll comb off your flesh. Amri Le, they said, my name Alach. We can't lie to you anymore. We have nothing, we have no more excuses. We have nothing to tell you. You know, when someone like Nevuzradan says that he's going to comb your flesh with the iron combs, you know he's serious. It's not an empty threat. It's something he would take joy in doing. Because our enemies, our worst enemies, are often not satisfied with just killing us, but only killing us in the most gruesome and painful and heart-wrenching ways possible. So they knew he was serious. And they said, we have no excuses. Nivaya havaban, there was a Navi, Dava kamochach lan b'mili d'shemaya, who used to give us tochacha, kaminon ilavei v'katlinon lei. We didn't like it. We got up and we killed him. Nowadays we'd be firing the rabbi for giving musa. But then they were a little harsher. So they got up and they killed him. That's really the beginning of the end. I just picked up a sefer in this farm store in Woodridge a couple of weeks ago. There was a, I don't know if it was recently put out or I just never noticed it before. They put out a sefer in Hebrew of the drashos of Rav Avigdor Miller, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, whose Torah is being fairly widely spread nowadays in a variety of different venues. You know, audio recordings and books in English and emails and... They put out a nice sefer of Hebrew drashos that he gave. I assume he gave all those drashos in English, in Flatbush, where he was a Rav, or in Chaim Berlin, where he was a Mashkiach. I'm always interested to hear what Rav Avigdor Miller, he was a big Kanai. not afraid to say things. But I'm always interested to hear what his perspective, because he was brilliant. He was not afraid to say things. He was brutally honest. And he inspired a generation of survivors who needed that kind of strong personality and that kind of strong leadership. And my grandfather Shlita is one of those survivors who to this day, my Rebbe Rav Miller, because he wasn't just a rabbi, he was a Rebbe. He would like say shiurim, but they weren't shiurim. He would teach a little bit and then stop. Okay, now chazer over with the guy sitting next to you. And people weren't like too prideful to do that or too afraid. You know, what if I don't know it? What if I'm embarrassed myself? Or how does this work exactly? Survivors, they missed their prime years of their life that should have been in yeshiva and they weren't. And they would do what he told them. They would chazer with the guy next to them. Okay, the chazer 15 minutes, now let's go weiter. That's how you'd say shiurim like that. So in the drasha, he has a drasha on Tisha B'Av at the end. He has drashas on each of the parshios. And he has a drasha on Tisha B'Av at the end, and he's trying to identify what was lost. You know, how do we connect to the Churban? And he identified three concepts, ideas, important elements of Yiddishkeit that were lost. And the first of the three that he identified as the loss of Nevuah, which really happened like soon after Bayis Rishon. But it used to be that we'd go to a Navi when we wanted spiritual direction, we wanted to know what to do with our lives, and we'd have someone to guide us and someone to tell us, look, this direction that you're taking, that the community's taking, is wrong. And we would consult with the Navi regularly. You know, it's mavur in the pasuk that way. And Sefer Malachim, the Isha Shunamis, why are you going hayom lo Shabbos hayom v'lo Chodesh? It sounds like on Shabbos and Chodesh they'd go every Rosh Chodesh, they'd go every Yontif to hear from the Navi. Well, if the Jewish people are not going to accept what the Naviim have to say, that's the beginning of the end. Part of having a sense of Hashras Hashchina is having HaKadosh Baruch Hu talk to us. So Salvech points out that the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah were misaking tefillah, they were misaking words of tefillah that we still say Adayom HaZeh, because they realized that a Jew can't live unless he's in du siach, unless he's in a conversation with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And up until that point, the Ribbono Shel Olam always initiated conversations through his Nevi'im. He would initiate a conversation. There was a concept of tefillah and a mitzvah of tefillah, but Hashem always initiated the conversations. And then the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah realized, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, the end of the Nevi'im, they realized there's no more initiation of conversation from the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're going to need to be the ones to initiate the conversation. Because there's no such thing as a Jew living, or even a non-Jew living, without a conversation with the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's no such thing as believing in God without being able to talk to God. That's what Moshe writes in the Tshuva, when he was asked about school prayer, whether Jews are allowed to participate in some sort of non-denominational prayer. And he says, well, let's see, are non-Jews allowed to pray? Are they obligated to pray? And he says, yes, they're obligated to pray. It's not in the Shavuot Mitzvahs, but oh, of course it is. They have to believe in God, and you can't have a God that you believe in that you can't talk to. So the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah were misaken a way for us to initiate conversation. That's not where the conversation ends, that's where the conversation begins. But it's so hard sometimes to have that conversation with Hashem. All these other thoughts go into him, when we get, I don't know, we just get distracted or bored or whatever. Rabbi Moshe Bamberger spoke to my Talmidim in camp last week, and he said that he met a Jew in Queens who grew up in Boston. And he said that growing up in Boston, he had the zechus of being part of the group that used to walk Rav Soloveitchik home, you know, after davening on Friday night. It was like a whole chevra that would all walk together. And one by one, you know, they would all peel off to go to their different homes. And he said this guy was like, he was a teenager, and he was the last one. He was the last one with Rav Soloveitchik. He had like this alone time with Rav Soloveitchik. But he was also 16 years old, a 16-year-old modern Orthodox kid from Boston. He didn't really have anything to talk to the Rav about. Like, his interests were girls and sports, and that's it. And the Rav wasn't really particularly interested in talking about either of those topics. And he felt like, years later, what people would do to have those moments. But he said, one time, the Rav saw he was bothered by something, and the Rav said, is there something you want to ask me? And he said, yeah, I'm struggling with tefillah. I really want to talk to Hashem. I find it's very hard to have kavana. Maybe his Rebbe taught him that terrifying Rav Chaim, that if you don't realize you're omid l'fnei Hashem from beginning to end, it's ma'akev the entire tefillah. Shimon Esrei. He said, I just, how do you do it? And he said, Rav Soloveitchik said to him, and I don't know if he was just trying to make him feel good, but Rav Soloveitchik said to him that if one out of 100 Shmona Esrays I have Kavana Karaui, then I'm having a good month. It's very, very hard to initiate a conversation with Hashem. It's an avoda. Ezui avoda shebelev zui tefila. Avoda means work. So my children always make fun. The Rosh Shiva in Shalvim speaks English very well, but he's usually translating Hebrew words into English. So he always talks about the importance of working Hashem, working Hashem. It's not exactly what we're supposed to do with avodas Hashem, but ezui avoda shebelev zui tefila. Tefila is an avoda to talk to Hashem. That avoda, the burden is on us because we no longer have a Navi. Hashem doesn't initiate conversations with us anymore. And we don't have a Navi because we weren't interested in what the Navim have to say anymore. It's not like we had a sterling record throughout the days of the Navim. Read a little bit of Navi. But usually there was a point where when the Navi delivered the message, there was a point where we got it. But to kill a Navi, so they confessed to Nevuzradan, this is what we have done, that's the blood that you see, we've killed a Navi. Hashem started a conversation, not just killing a person, which is bad enough, not just killing a holy person, which is bad enough, it's Hashem's way of starting a conversation, and we said, we hung up the phone on the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hello, who is it? It's Hashem. No thanks. And we hung up the phone as if he were like an annoying telemarketer. Amar Luhu Nevuzradan says, I'm going to appease the blood of Zechariah. So I say Sanhedrin Gedola. Nevuzradan brought the Sanhedrin Gedola, the Sanhedrin Katana, and members of the Sanhedrin Katana. Those are the two Batei Din that could be Dan Dine Nefashos. Sanhedrin Ketana is a Beis Din of 23 judges that you have, B'chal Yir V'ir. Sanhedrin Gedola, of course, ideally we're sitting in the Lishchas Hagazis, the 70 or 71 judges, Machlokas Tanaim in the beginning of Masech Sanhedrin. Moshe Al Gabeyan, or Moshe is among them, the Shivamish. Moshe's Keneged Shivamish. Somewhat confusing. But you have Sanhedrin Gedola. Those were the greatest scholars of the Jewish people, and their primary job, really, was to represent the Jewish people when there was a decision that had to be made, not just Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, one guy is suing another guy or whatever, but decisions, L'Hosef Ali'ir, V'Ala'azaros, to be Yotzei L'Melchama, Klal Yisrael decisions. That went to the Sanhedrin Gedola. There was a body that of Rabbanim that represented the entirety of Klal Yisrael. Can you imagine if we had such a body of Rabbanim today? The Agudat Tribes, the Moetzes Gedolei HaTorah, represents a sliver of a sliver of a piece of Klal Yisrael. Okay? In Eretz Yisrael, there are several bodies of Rabbanim that represent a sliver of a sliver of Klal Yisrael. Sanhedrin Gedola represented Klal Yisrael, the entirety of the Jewish people. We don't see that anymore. We only see that in tragedy. We only see representation of all of Klal Yisrael in tragedy. When you look at pictures of victims from Meron, you see representation of all of Klal Yisrael. No community is not represented. We used to have glorious representation, the Sanhedrin Gedolah. And the Sanhedrin Ketana, because you need leadership close to home also. And the job of the Sanhedrin is to promote shalom, Emes, Mishpat, and Shalom. The Gemara says at the beginning of Sanhedrin that it's a mitzvah of tzava, according to one opinion, that it's a mitzvah for the dayanim to suggest a compromise of some sort, because that brings about shalom. And Katali Lavei, so he started killing over the blood of Zechariah, Velo Nach, and the blood of Zechariah didn't rest, it continued to boil. And he killed Bachurim or Besulos, young people, unmarried young men and women. There's something particularly tragic when a young married person passes away, leaving an alman or an almon and children. There's something also uniquely tragic about someone who never even had that chance. Someone who never had that chance to get married and have children. We're all only here for a limited amount of time. And we hope and we pray that whatever impact we have will be carried on through children, through Talmidim. And here, Bachurim Ubesulos. They never got to make their mark. Katali Lavei, he killed them. And Lo Nach, Zechariah's blood didn't rest. I see Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban. He went even younger. He brought the Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban. The Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban are the purest karbanos in the world. It's the Hevel Piyam Shel Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban that keeps the world going. The Gemara says that, I think it was Abaye and Rava said that the Hevel Piyam Shel Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban is more valuable than the Havayos D'Abaye V'Rava, than all of the discussions, the complicated discussions in Shas. You ever see a Gadol B'Torah interact with a child? It's the most beautiful thing. I feel like, I don't know, maybe I feel like Gadolim appreciate children more than regular people. It's almost like the greater you are, the more of an appreciation for how precious and special a child is that you have. It's in great, great Talmidei Chachamim. Just stop everything. To talk to a child, to listen to a child. Because they're the purest, the Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban. There's a beautiful video that they just put out for Tisha B'Av about Rav Pam Zuchrono Levracha. Binyamin stars in the video. They said it's for Tisha B'Av, but I couldn't wait, so yesterday I watched the whole thing. And like, to me, the most moving images are just Rav Pam, like in the hallways. I imagine it's in the hallways of Torah V'Das, just talking to children. Not like his Smicha Talmidim. He taught the Smicha Shir also. Just talking to children. Children saw Rav Pam, they had questions. It's very special. You know, I'd never been to Torah V'Das. I visited a couple of weeks ago for the first time in my life. I didn't realize they have like K through Kolel in the same building. So like, the likes of Rapam is going to run into preschool kids every once in a while. So Nevuzradan takes the blood of Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban, Kati Lelevei Lo Nach, and still the dam of Zechariah doesn't rest. Zamerlei Nevuzradan tells the blood of Zechariah, he addresses the blood directly, he talks to the blood. Zechariah, Zechariah, Tovim Shebeheni Badatim. There's nowhere higher to go. I took the best of them. And I killed the best of them on your blood. Nichalach tabdinu lekulu. You need a complete genocide? Kedamar lehachi, when he said that, nach. Then the blood of Zechariah stopped to boil. because there will never be a complete genocide of the Jewish people. The Jewish people will always survive. We have Haftacha from the Ribbono Shel Olam that Am Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, always survives. If the next step was total annihilation of every Jew, then it stops, because it can't go there. Vayishaita at that time, then Nebuzradan saw what happened with the blood of Zechariah HaKohen. Hear her tshuva b'dayte. He had a hearer of tshuva. Amar, and he said, Uma im al nefesh achas kach. If this is what happens to them for spilling the blood of one person, of the Navi of Zechariah, and they suffer such a terrible consequence of what I just did by killing all of these hundreds of thousands of people, so I, who didn't just kill one person, who killed millions, Allah has kama v'kama. How much more so? Orak azal shadashtar partisa bevesei v'igaya. He went and he sent a shtar tzava'a to his house, to his wife, that they should know what to do with all of his nechasim, because he was giving it all up. And he went and he was megayer. I don't know what Beis Din was megayer, this fellow. I always try to think, like, if he would have come to our Beis Din, I mean, you got to be crazy, right? There was a big, big debate in Poskim right after the Holocaust. There were Germans that felt this way. There were Nazis that felt this way. That Klal Yisrael survived, and they wanted to be Megayer. There were grandchildren of Nazis, children of Nazis that felt this way. So a big debate. Are you allowed to be Megayer someone from Amalek? There's a medrash that says you're not allowed to be Megayer somebody from Amalek. So how literally do you take it that the Diuk in the Rambam, and the Rambam says about every other nation, kvar avad zichram, that the all the other nations since the Kherev came and was mevalbel everybody, so nobody, the original Frenchmen aren't Frenchmen, the original Spaniards aren't Spaniards anyway, everyone was moved around, nobody is where they, but about Amalek he doesn't say it. So Salvechik quoted from his grandfather that, because Amalek is not a nation based on genetics, it's a nation based on an idea. The idea of Lo Yirei Elokim, they are not God-fearing, and their goal is the total annihilation of the Jewish people. Usually the people that have the goal of the total annihilation of the Jewish people are God-fearing. I mean, they are a people of religion. It's usually the reason they want to destroy the entire Jewish people, whether it be Christianity or Islam, depending on which generation you're lucky enough to be alive in. It's unique to have an Amalek, to have people that want to kill us without really an ideology, without like any justification. You know, that God told them to do something like this, to lose their own humanity without believing that God told them that they have to lose their own humanity. It's a unique, unique kind of rishus. So there were people that wanted to convert, and there were those that said, no, the Nazis are Amalek. Rav Salvechik held it halacha l'maisa. I don't know if he said it about Geirus, but he certainly said it about, because you could argue that the grandchild of Amalek, if Amalek is defined by an ideology and the grandchild doesn't, or the child doesn't share that ideology, so then he's not included in that nation. But he said it about taking reparations from the Germans. He was very serious about that idea. So it was Radon with a hero tshuva, decided to come and become a ger. It's interesting because when Zechariah's blood kept on boiling, he didn't have a hirur tshuva. The miracle wasn't that it stopped boiling, the miracle was that it boiled, no? And he kept trying to be mevatalit in all this other blood. and just kept on bubbling to the top. And that, no Hira Tshuva. That he maintains what he's doing and who he's been, that, no Hira Tshuva. It's only when nature reverts back to what nature is supposed to be, then he has Hira Tshuva. Sometimes Hira Tshuva doesn't come in the moment where we see something unusual, but it's in a moment where we reflect. Hira Tshuva sometimes comes when we just slow down a little bit. Great things could be happening around us. Impressive things, important things. But we're so caught up. We keep feeding our minds and our eyes and, with more information and more things to do and beeping and buzzing. And I mean, you don't have time to just like reflect. Here, tshuva can't come if it's being drowned out by all the beeping and buzzing and clicking and everything else. It comes when we have time to reflect, when we just stop a little bit. It's also interesting that it makes this kal v'chomer. What's a kal v'chomer? Kal v'chomer that if they killed a Navi, a Kohen, and a Navi, and a Tzaddik, and they suffered this consequence, so therefore for sure I mean, he didn't kill a Kohen and a Navi and a Tzaddik. Elamai, what we said before. He killed better than a Kohen, a Navi, and a Tzaddik. He killed Tinoka Shel Beis Rabba. Tinoka Shel Bachurim Ubesulos. Bachurim Ubesulos. When a Navi and a Tzaddik and a Kohen, when an adult who's well established, who you know what he is, even if he's the biggest Tzaddik in the world, you know what he is. There's a ceiling, whether he's met that ceiling or not, or gotten close to it, but you know what he is, and you know the impact that he can have, or has had. You could pretty much predict the impact that he will have. But a child is all potential. That's why the Avelus is so overwhelming when a child is lost. It could have been anything. Bachrum of Basulos. That's why you see sometimes when a young person is lost, when a young person meets an early demise, what that brings Klal Yisrael to do sometimes is more than any Rosh Yeshiva and Kohen and Gadol and Tzaddik and more than anyone could ever accomplish. Sometimes they do more b'misasam than the tzaddikim do b'chayehem. The greatest tzaddikim do b'chayehem. You remember we saw it with the three boys? It's crazy that you could just say that with those words, the three boys. And we all know exactly what we're talking about, who we're talking about. We saw it again, certainly hitting home in our part of the world with Donnie Morris. How many people started doing mitzvos that all the Musar Shmuzin of the biggest Rashi Yeshiva in the world and all the inspiration of the biggest Rabbanim and Tzaddikim and never would have gotten them to do it. Who chazers Dav Yomi? But if that's what was lost, so it's for us to pick it up. And we do. So many people just picked up. Someone told me the first time he's been doing Daf Yomi for years, for the first time he's making a siyum. Why? Because he never felt like making a siyum before. Because he hears it once, it's in one ear out the other. But now that he chazers Daf Yomi, it's more meaningful. In find me the Rav, find me the Rosh Hashiva that can get people by the thousands to do these kinds of things. You tell kids, call your grandparents, call your grandparents, call your grandparents. And all of a sudden, hundreds of kids are calling their grandparents. Bachrim u'besulos, tinokos l'beis rabban. It's a good kal v'chomer. It's a silly question. I won't tell you which Achron asked the question, because I think it's mamish a silly question. Where's the kal v'chomer? They killed a Navi. He killed better than a Navi. Tinoko shall be Israel. So the Gemara brings a Braisa Tana. Naaman Ger Toshav Haya. Naaman was the general of Melech Amon. He was a Ger Toshav. Ger Toshav remains a non-Jew. He's not a Jewish person. But he's mekabel not to do Avodah Zarah. It's a question. Is that all he's mekabel? The Gemara in Avodah Zarah has machlokas tanoim. But Meir says, Ger Toshav is someone who's mekabel not to do Avodah Zarah. The Chum says he has to be mekabel all Sheva Mitzvos. So Rashi over here says he was mekabel not to do Avodah Zarah, which is like Rameir against the Chacham. That's what the Achronim explained, that maybe there's Tzvei Dinim in Ger Toshav, okay, not for Tisha B'Av. So Naaman was a Ger Toshav on some level. Nevuzradon, who we've just been talking about, Ger Tzedek, he wasn't just a Ger Toshav, he became Jewish. Bibnei Bonav Shel Haman Lamdu Torah Bibnei Brak. This is the Raya against those who wanted to pass on like the Medrash, that you can't convert a Nazi or a grandchild of a Nazi. Here's a raya not that way. That you can convert the grandchild of a Nazi, you can convert the grandchild of Haman. B'nei Banav Shel Haman, learn Torah in B'nei Brak. It's a question, can you bring a raya from a Agadita? It's a medrash in Bishalach, that we're not makabel from Zera Amalek. So some say, you see, it's a machlokas between the Gemara and the medrash, so we pass like the Talmud Bavli. There's a Jew like this. I think he lived in Florida. He wrote a book. There's a guy who, I think he lived in Boca. I don't know if he still does. A doctor who, as a teenager, he knew his father was a veteran, a war veteran. But his father never spoke much about the war. He had different medals and whatever, and pictures of various, I don't know, people that he admired, and in school they started learning about the Second World War in Germany, growing up in Germany, and he started asking questions, like a lot of questions, like what was Dad's role exactly in the war? Well, And when he started to get the beginnings of answers to what his father did, he ran away from home. And he actually became the Shabbos guy in the Jewish community in one of the cities in Germany. He was like the shamish of the shul, you know, like they gave him a little place to stay. You never want an inspired Shabbos guy, because he's not going to stay a guy for very long. I think Rabbi Yudin kept on having that problem. Every time his shul would hire a Shabbos guy, you meet Rabbi Yudin, you don't want to stay a guy for very long. So the Shabbos guy converted, so what do you do now? Who's the custodian going to be? So this fellow from Florida, he wrote a book. I read the book once. He converted. He said that he wrote a book because his child was in school, I guess down in Boca, like a fourth or fifth grader, and he had an assignment in school to write about your lineage, write about who your grandparents were. So for the first time, his child said to his dad, he said, you know, you never talk about my grandfather. You know, who's my grandfather? And I don't know, maybe he was older than fifth grade. He must have been, because he sat him down and he said, well, I actually got quite a story to tell you. And he told him who the grandfather was. And the kid's like, this is going to be the best essay ever. And he wrote, my grandfather was a Nazi who murdered Jews. He wrote about his grandfather. The father gets a call from the school. You have to come into the principal right away. So he goes into the principal. This is mamash a true story. He goes into the principal. Principal says, we have a problem with your child. He said, what's the problem with my child? He said, he's a mechutzav. We gave him an assignment to write about his grandfather, and he made up this baba maisa about his grandfather being a Nazi. Kind of wild, crazy imagination. And, you know, like right away, sent him to all the psychologists, figure out, like, what kind of child does that? And he said, well, actually, and he tells the principal the story. And the principal says, you should write a book. And he did. That's the book that I read. So you have like this sometimes. People sincerely, they want to convert. But still, Nevuzradon, I mean, he himself, it's hard to imagine. Hard to imagine how Bezin could be Makabo. Imagine what the blogs would say about that. I mean, like, that Bezin would get murdered on Twitter. So Tana Naman Ger Toshev Haya. So Naman was Ger Toshev, and it was Radin Ger Tzedek Haya. That's where we were. And Mibnei Banav Shal Haman Lomdu Torah Bibnei Brak. Mibnei Banav Shal Sisra Limdu Tinokos Birushalayim. It's amazing how, like, Kedusha comes from the most unexpected places. The Gaonim tell us Rabbi Akiva was Mibnei Banav Shal Sisra. And Sisra was Baal Yael, maybe Rabbi Kiva came from that. But Mibnei Banav Shal Sisra taught Torah in Yerushalayim. Mibnei Banav Shal Sancheirav Lamdu Torah Barabin. And Bnei Banav Shal Sancheirav taught Torah publicly. Man Inun, who are the Bnei Banav Shal Sancheirav that taught Torah Barabin? Shmaya Va'avtalion. Shmaya and Avtalion, they were Gerim. They themselves, the Rambam writes in the Hakdamah to the Yad, and in the parish of Mishnayot also, but Shmaya and Avtalion themselves were Gerim. That's why Shmaya and Avtalion had trouble pronouncing certain Hebrew words, because, you know, sometimes there are sounds in the Hebrew language that don't have an equivalent in other languages, so they can't pronounce the letters properly, the words properly. So, like, for example, nowadays, you know, a newcomer may have trouble with Ches or Chaf. So Shmaya and Avtalion had trouble with the letter He. Probably because we don't pronounce the letter He properly. He is probably, I don't know, something closer to a Ches, I don't know. But Shmaya and Avtalion, the Rambam says, they themselves were Gerim. It's interesting because the Gemara in Chagiga says that one of them was a Nasi, the other one was an Av Beis, and all the pairs in Pirkei Avos, one was a Nasi, one was an Av Beis. But, you know, Mikerev Echecha Tosim Alecha Melech Kol Masim Hashat HaMesim Lo Yuel Mikerev Echecha. You're not allowed to be Memana Eger to any sort of Srara. It's one of the limitations for Meisha's Tshuva, whether a Ger can be a Rosh Yeshiva. Is that a Srara? Because a Rosh Yeshiva has the ability to throw students out of yeshiva. So that's why some say, no, they weren't really Gerim, they were descendants of Gerim, but they themselves couldn't be Gerim. Others say, look, they were Gerim, and you're not supposed to appoint a Ger to a Srara, but they were so much more qualified than everybody else, they didn't really have a choice. I think that's what they say Rav Soloveitchik said when they asked him about Golda Meir being prime minister. It's a violation of Srara. And he said, yeah, and what's the other choice? Sometimes it may be a violation of Srara, but you look at the other option. some of the Achronim of the Sin. They were just so much more supremely qualified than anybody else. Others say that they didn't take on any of the srara, duties and responsibilities. They couldn't. They were under foreign control. Ramesha writes in that tshuva that a ger is allowed to be mekabel srara. It's just, we're not allowed to appoint them to srara. So it's not a kasha and shmaya and avtalion. It's like sometimes, people try to bring rayas of like what kind of name you're allowed to, are appropriate to use, to name a child with or whatever. And they bring rayas from like gedolim who had, can you use Ramesha's tshuva by using secular names? Can you name a child? Now, all the rayas are from people who only had secular names. Nowadays, I don't think anyone does that. I mean, people have a Jewish name, and they call also by a secular name also, so that the child should be able to function in American society or whatever. I had no choice. I had to go into Chinuch or Rabbanus, because my name is Aryeh, and that's it. I don't have any other, there's no way to... So Ramesha writes. So it's always bothered me. Like, you can't bring a raya just because there was a Baal HaTosos named Rabbeinu Peter. I don't know whose parents were. Meaning the kasha's on his parents, it's not on him. He was stuck with that name. But he had to change it. I don't think there's a requirement to change it. Anyway, so Shmaya and Avtalion were descendants of Sancheriv. They themselves, according to the Rambam, were Gerim. According to others, they were descendants of Gerim. A ger once wrote me a letter, one of the gerim from that we converted in the Beis Din, that he's nervous because he keeps hearing shiurim and he keeps hearing people talk about yichus. This one is such a miyuchas, that one is such a miyuchas. It's like, where's my yichus? And what am I missing because of that? And the answer is, you make the yichus, Shmaya and Avtalion. They made their yichus. You become the miyuchas. You become the yichus that your children will be miyuchasim because they're your children. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk about the blood of Zechariah ben Yoyada HaKohen. Hainu duchsiv. Pasuk in Yecheskel says, Nasati es dama al tzachiyach sela levilti hikasos. That Kadosh Baruch Hu kiilu gave it tzivoy that the dam shouldn't be absorbed in the karka in order to bring about this nekama that we just read about. Mar brings a pasuk about the Haruge Beitar. Yitzchak says to Yaakov Avinu after he feels his hands, Hakol kol Yaakov ayadayim yidei Esav, the famous line. So the Gemara darshins, Yitzchak saw b'nevua that Yaakov was one day going to use his kol, was one day going to cry. Hakol ze adrayonos kesar. That's the cry that the b'nei Yaakov, that Yaakov's children let out in the days of adrayonos kesar. Shaharag b'Alexandria shal Mitzrayim shishim ribo al shishim ribo. Kefayim kiyotzi Mitzrayim, right? 1.2 million people. Kol Yaakov ze Aspasianus Kesar. It's the cries of the Jewish people in the days of Aspasianus Kesar. Shaharag b'krach beitar arba meyos ribo. 4 million Jews. V'amila arbas alafim ribo. Some say 40 million. I have an expression that Chazal speak b'lashon guzma, that Chacham speak in exaggerated tones, exaggerated numbers. Very often, they speak b'lashon guzma. You imagine this is b'lashon guzma, right? But sometimes, you think Chazal are speaking b'lashon guzma, or you think that something is unrealistic, and then reality smacks you in the face. Like, if we would have seen the number 2 million or 4 million or 6 million before the Holocaust, we probably would have thought it must be a guzma. There can't be. Those numbers just don't make sense. I mean, just how can one be efficient enough to kill that many people in a short amount of time? It's impossible. But reality smacks us in the face once in a while, and we see that maybe what we thought was a guzma wasn't really a guzma. Afal Pikain, 40 million? I don't know, it's the Jewish population of the world. Did it ever even approach 40 million? Vayadayim midei Esav, zu malchus harasha'a shechriva esbatenu. That's the offspring of Esav that destroyed our Beis HaMikdash, v'sarfa es hechalenu, and burnt our hechal, v'glisanu me'artzenu, and exiled us from our land. You know, Ma'asav al-Simon Labanim. Yitzchak feels the hands of Yaakov, and Yaakov is trying to hide who he is. He's trying to pass himself off as Esav. So many times throughout history, Klal Yisrael, the Marshal points out, Klal Yisrael does the same thing. We're so afraid of looking too Jewish, of appearing too Jewish. We try to pass ourselves off as Esav, thinking that that's going to help. And the Kol Kol Yaakov screams and cries because they tried to make it Yadayim Yaday Esav. We tried too hard to mimic Esav. Dover Acher, Akol Kol Yaakov. Another interpretation, She'en Lecha Tfila Shemo Eles She'en Ba Mizaro Shel Yaakov. Anytime there's a tefillah with a kol that works and is miskabel in shemayim, it's always because there's some Zera Yaakov in that tefillah. I'm not sure what this is referring to. It could be referring to the tefillos of the Umos HaOlam, that sometimes the tefillos of the Umos HaOlam, when they're listened to, it's because of intermarriage, and they also have the zechus of Yaakov somewhere along the way. I'm not sure. Vayadayim midei Esav ein lecha milchama shenotzachas she'en ba mizara shel Esav. There's no victorious war effort that doesn't have the zera of Esav involved. I mean, this is prophetic. Hakol kol Yaakov, every kol tefillah that matters, every yadayim, every time there's Yitzachon b'melchama, it's Esav. Something of Esav in there. Now the Gemara goes back to something we didn't even read tonight, going back to Daf Nunhei and Nunvav. The Gemara spoke about how, on account of Lashon Hara, Yerushalayim was destroyed. The Lashon Hara of Bar Kamtza. We're not going to chazer over the whole Kamtza Bar Kamtza story. But Vahenu Dam Rabbi Lazar, that's what Rabbi Lazar explains. B'sholt Lashon Techavei, B'chirchure Lashon. When a person fights with his language, with his Lashon, Techavei, he better hide, because it's going to be his downfall. That's what it sounds like. That that if a person uses his words improperly, And he speaks Lashon Haras, then Techavei, he should hide right away. We don't realize sometimes, just like passing comments, you know, Lashon Hara takes on so many different forms. A lot of times, you know, we don't even mean anything by it, or it's just like some, like, you know, it's a raise of an eyebrow. You know, someone mentions this young man or young woman is doing so nicely, and someone raises an eyebrow. Really? That's Lashon Hara also? There are certain things there are opinions that are formed about people. Often people that you never even met, just because someone made a comment or someone gave an impression. You see it all the time. Amr Vidam Rav Maiduch Siv, what does the pasuk mean? Al Naros Bavel Sham Yashavnu Gamba Chinu Mizachrenu Estzion. Melamit Sheroa Kodesh Baruch Hu David. David saw Benavua Churban Bayis Rishon VeChurban Bayis Sheni. Imagine the pain of that nevuah for David HaMelech. All David HaMelech ever wanted to do was build the Beis HaMikdash. It was his life's goal, his life's dream. When he found out Nasan HaNavi told him it's not going to happen, all he did was try to plan for it, to buy all the, you know, to put everything in place so that Shlomo HaMelech will have everything ready for him when it comes time to build the Beis HaMikdash. And David has to see a nevuah of the destruction of Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. Churban Bayis Rishon Shnemar Al Naros Bavel Sham Yashavnu Gam Bachinu. Nebuchadnezzar exiles Bnei Yisrael to Bavel when he destroys the Beis HaMikdash, and we sit there crying by the riverbanks. Bayis Sheni David saw Duchsiv Zuchar Hashem Levnei Edom Es Yom Yerushalayim Ha'omru Aru Aru Adai Yisod Ba. That Titus, from the offspring of Edom, destroys Yerushalayim. And David HaMelech davens and Hashem should remember what they've done to us and should pay them back. It's fascinating, though, that David does not give up his effort to build the Beis HaMikdash, knowing that it will be destroyed, knowing that even its replacement will be destroyed. He still dedicates his entire life toward this goal of getting a Beis HaMikdash built for Klal Yisrael, knowing that it's not going anywhere, I mean, that it's going to be destroyed. But of course it's worth it. We had centuries of Agilui Shechina. It's those centuries of Agilui Shechina that keep us going throughout all the years of Galus. We have what to recapture because we had it once. Other people that were killed in the times of the Churban, the Gemara tells us, Shmuel, Itema, Rabbi Ami, some say Rabbi Ami said it, not Shmuel, Vamrila, Masnisa Tana, that was taught in a Braisa, Maisa Ba'arba Meos Yiladim V'Yiladol Shenishbu L'Kalon, that there were 400 children, boys and girls, that were taken to be used for terrible immorality, the boys for Mishkav Zachar, the girls to be taken as pilagshim. Hirgishu ba'atzman l'mahin mizbakshim. They realized what was going on, what they were wanted for. Amru, so the children said, im anu tovin bayam. If we jump overboard, we drown ourselves and thereby avoid sin. Anu ba'un l'chayi olam haba. Will we be zochet olam haba? Normally you're not allowed to commit suicide. And Ma'abed Atzma Ladas is Ein L'Chelek L'Ol Maba. So they wanted to know, is this a violation of suicide where we're not going to have a Chelek in Ol Maba? Marsha explains that they were familiar with the concept of Gilgul Mechilos, that for Tchias HaMesim, People tunnel through the ground, dead bodies tunnel through the ground in order to have a Tchias HaMesim in Eretz Yisrael. It's one of the reasons that many people try to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, even if they didn't live in Eretz Yisrael, because they don't want to suffer the Yisurin of Gilgul Mechilos. So children, being children, is there Gilgul Mechilos from the ocean? Does Hashem only gather together the bodies from the ground? Of course the answer is yes. Of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu does Tchias HaMesim. There are so many holy Jews that were never brought to Kever Yisrael. Walk around, you know, Har HaMenuchos or Har HaZeisim and look at some of the Matzevos. Any Jewish cemetery. locally also. And you can see matzevos that have multiple names on them. There's the person who's buried there, and there's their father, their mother, their uncles, their cousins, their siblings, all of whom were killed in the Holocaust and never had Kever Yisrael. They also have Gilgul Mechilos. They also are going to have Tchias HaMeisim. You know, people are under the impression that the reason cremation is bad is that there's not going to be Tchias HaMeisim, because how can HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring you back to life if the body's not there anymore? That's absurd. Cremation is bad because it's a bit of mitzvah, and you're not allowed to be, and it's an isser of being of nivel ha-meis. It's bad. You're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to choose to do it. But there are millions of holy Jews that it happened al karcham. Of course, there's tchias ha-meisim for them. How's a Kadosh Baruch Hu going to do it? I don't know. Can you explain how a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to do it with people who are buried? Is there like some explanation of how that works? Hashem figures things out. So these children had a shaila. The problem is they're all children. Who do you ask a shaila to when you're all children? Dorish len ha-gadol shebehen. I don't know, who's the gadol shebehen? These were all children. How old was the gadol shebehen who's paskening their shailas? Elamai, when there's no one qualified, the most qualified has to be the one that paskins. So it's big pachad. When people ask shailas, who exactly is qualified to paskin? I don't know. Sometimes I feel like the littlest child was called to paskin a shaila. But they knew who the gadol shebehen was over there, somehow. And the gadol shebehen was a child. And he said, the pasuk in Tehillim says, Omer Hashem mi bashan ashiv ashiv mi mitzulas yam. Mi bashan ashiv mi bein shinei aryeh. It means from in between the teeth of the lion. Hashem will bring the person to chayel maba. Where do you get mi bein shinei aryeh? Mi bashan, mi bein shein. Mi bashan, from between the teeth. That was his drasha. Ashiv bi mitzulas yam. Elu shetovin bayam. People who drown in the ocean, al kiddush Hashem, they're also going to have tchias ha-meisim. Kimon sheshavimu yilados kach. When the young ladies heard this, kavtzu kulan v'naflu l'toch hayam. They jumped. V'naflu, naflu doesn't mean they fell. Naflu means they fell themselves, meaning they jumped. Right, the Gemara has elsewhere. The Gemara says, beginning of Basra, right, the story of the from the Beis Chashmonai, the last survivor, how when Hordas was an Eved from the Beis Chashmonai, rebelled and he killed out his master's whole house. And so Gemara says she realized she was the last survivor. She realized what she was wanted for, that he wanted to marry her. So she went to the rooftop and nafla. Nafla doesn't mean she fell, doesn't mean she slipped. It means that it happened on purpose. So the girls did it first. And nasu yiladim kal v'chomer bi'atzman v'yamru, and the little boys made a kal v'chomer, and they said, ma halalu shudarkan l'kach. What they're being taken for is very sadly not uncommon in the world. Kach anu shudarku kach anu she'ein darkeinu l'kach. We're being taken for an even more humiliating experience because it's going to be Mishkav Zachar on top of the fact that it's Ones and that it's these animals and that, but it's going to be Mishkav Zachar also. Alachas kama v'kama. Of course, we also have to die al kiddush Hashem af him kavtzul l'toch hayam v'aleim akas v'omer ki alecha aragnu kol yom nechshavnu katzon tivcha. For kiddush Hashem, we're mezalzel in our own lives, we're ready to be killed. Children were ready to be killed. There are stories about the Holocaust of this event repeating itself. This story repeating itself. I think there are questions about the validity of the story, some of the stories in the Holocaust about this particular event repeating itself. But it's so telling that it's the young ladies who went first. Kodesh Baruch Hu made it that there's just an intuition that of ruchnius, that women sometimes, oftentimes, have. In one of the big avodas, as many of you know, I teach chassanim from time to time. I'm trying to stop, but whatever. And like one of the big avodas for a young yeshiva bachur who's been learning in the Beis Medrash hours and hours a day for several years is to trust that the girl that he chose to marry may have a better intuition and better read on the situation in matters of everything, but particularly of religion, than all of his Talmudic training. Even if she didn't have any Talmudic training. And not trust because you're a tzaddik and you do whatever. That too, you should do that too. But just because she's probably right and you probably just don't see something. There's something there. There's something about a Bas Yisrael. It's a credit to the boys in this story that they were able to follow the lead of the Bnos Yisrael. They didn't say, wow, that was very noble of them, but, you know, I could think of three chilukim where it's not a raya for us. Any yeshiva bachar worth his salt should be able to come up with chilukim, right? It's not a raya muchrachas. The young ladies didn't need a raya muchrachas. They knew what to do. And it's a credit to the boys that they followed their lead. That's also something to learn from. A story Binyamin told in that video that I was not supposed to watch yesterday. That, let me get the story wrong. But it was something like that his grandmother, Rebbetzin Pam, used to light two candles for Shabbos, and Binyamin's mother, Allah Shalom, used to light as many candles as the number of kids that she had, plus, you know, two. So Binyamin asked his grandfather, asked Rav Pam, what's your minhag? Because I see like two different things. So he said, my minhag is we light as many candles as the number of children that we have. So he said, but Bobby doesn't do that. So he said, yeah, I also have another minhag that you do whatever your wife says. That minhag overrides. It reminds me of Rabbi Willig. Rabbi Willig had a practice. He used to always say that he had two rules when he married off his children. No alcohol at the wedding and whatever the mechutanim want. So they said, and what if there's a stira between those two rules? So it was a very difficult shaila for him. So he said, whatever the mechutanim want, that's the overriding rule. One of his children, he said, married a girl from Lawrence. It wasn't shaykh that there wasn't going to be alcohol at the wedding. Yeah. Another drasha. Rav Yehuda Amar Zu Isha V'Shiva Baneha. It's about a woman and her seven children who died al kiddush Hashem. When we say Ki Alecha Ragnu Kalayom, so the Gemara tells us the details of what happened. Asyu Lakama Lakame the Kesar. They brought the first son in front of Kesar, Omrule Plach Lavodas Kochavim. Kesar says, I want you to be Ovid of Avodah Zarah. Amaluhu said, no. Kasav Batorah, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Can't be Ovid of Avodah Zarah. It's a Feresh in Torah. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Afku v'katus, they killed him. Basiu liidach. They brought the second child, the Kamehid, to Kesar, in front of the Kesar. Amalei, plach level z'chavim, you have to be worship of Avodah Zarah. Amaluhu, Kasav Batorah, lo yiyah l'chay l'imacherim al panai. Pasuk says he's not allowed to have any other gods. He was killed on the next day. Avku v'katlu killed him. Asiu liidach, they brought the third son. Amalei plach level d'skav mablahu. Kasuv b'Torah zoveach leluhim yecharam. And the end of the pasuk is bilti l'Hashem levado. That we only bring karbanos to Hashem. Avku v'katlu, they killed him. Asiu liidach, they brought the fourth son. Amru lei plach lavodus kochavim. Amru luhu, I cannot do it because kasuv b'Torah lo sishtachav ele'el acher. Avku v'katlu, they killed him. Asiu liidach. Amru lei plach lavodus kochavim. Amru luhu, kasuv b'Torah shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Avku v'katlu, you wonder if he was the most clever of them. That he managed to say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is his final words. Asiu liidach, they brought the sixth one. Amalei plach lavod zchavim amaluhu kasuv b'Torah v'yadata yom b'shivosa levavecha ki Hashem hu Elokim b'shamayim yimel v'arz mitachas ein od. There's no one besides for Hashem. Avku v'katlu. Asiu liidach, they brought the seventh son. Amalei plach lavod zchavim amaluhu. He said, I cannot worship Avodah Zarah kasuv b'Torah. Es Hashem ha'amarta. Pasuk goes on. Hayom liyos chal elohim lelokim lechas b'rach v'lishmar chukav mitzvasach mishpat v'lishmar b'kolo. And afterwards says, v'Hashem ha'mircha hayom. And we're supposed to be in Am Segula. To observe the mitzvahs of Hashem. Kvar nishparu l'akadosh baruch hu she'ein anu ma'avirin also. Be'el acher. We already have a shavua that we're not going to trade HaKadosh Baruch Hu for any other god. Va'av hu nishbalanu she'in ma'avir osanu bu'uma acheres. And Hashem promises he's not going to trade us for anybody else. The case I can't say, no, there's pikuach nefesh over here, or you're not bound by the shavua. No, Hashem took a shavua, he's not going to trade us. So we're gonna live up to our end. Amalei Kesa, the Kesa said, Ishti loch kushpanka. I'll make it easy for you. I'm not going to ask you to have in mind to worship Avodah Zarah. I'm going to throw my signet ring in front of the Avodah Zarah, and you just bend down and pick it up for me. So that it will be evident that you've accepted the power of the king. Amalei chaval lach kesar, the seventh son said, too bad kesar, chaval lach kesar. Some understand it's a lashon of klala to the kesar. You know, whenever you have a double lashon, chaval lach chaval, it's like akiva nichamtanu, akiva nichamtanu. It's like it either is referring to two separate things, or it's a point of great emphasis. Chaval lach kesar is like Nebuch. You know, like you look at this picture of what's going on over here in this story. Who's the Nebuch exactly? The seventh child was able to look at the kesar and say, you're such a Nebuch. You're such, like twice, you're such a Nebuch. You desire kavod so much. Rav Chaim Shalom points out, you desire kavod so much, and all of this effort to get kavod, it's not, you're never going to satisfy. You're never going to be memale tavascha for kavod. No one ever does. Anyone who has that taiva for kavod never gets the kavod that they want. It's never enough kavod. There's still another madrega. What about Yenim? He's getting more kavod than I am. Haman or Rasha could have everybody bowing to him, but that one little yid that doesn't want to bow, tears him apart. Person has taiva for kavod chaval alach. How small you are. I'll cover atzmucha kach. You're so choshish for your own kavod. I'll cover a kodesh baruch hu alachas kama v'kama. You expect me to be worried about your kavod? The kavod of kodesh baruch hu, not to be mechal shem shemayim. Avkul l'mikvle, they took out the seventh child to be killed. Amru luhu ime. The mother said to them, Yavune aleivan shike porta. Give me this last child so I can kiss him, so I can say goodbye. Amr lo banai luchu v'imru l'Avram avichem. I want you to report back to Avram Avinu. Ata akadta mizbeach echad. You were willing to put on an akeda, one child on the mizbeach. V'ani akadti shiva mizbechos. I put seven children on the mizbeach. It's not an exact parallel. Avram Avinu did it midaito. He actually bound Yitzchak. This woman was against her will. But the Mesiris Nefesh of a Jewish mother, it was Midas Atzma. Because she raised children with such a profound emuna. And if she would have had 10 children or 20 children, there are plenty of psukim in the Torah. There are plenty of unused psukim in the Torah that describe how terrible Avodah Zarah is and how loyal we have to be to the Ribbono Shel Olam. They wouldn't have run out of psukim, but they lived these psukim, they died these psukim. She did that. She made Sheva Mizbechos. Avhi also Lagag Vin Nafla Umesa. Again, Nafla doesn't mean that she slipped. There's a medrash in Eicha Rabba that says that she went out of her mind. She became a shaita and she went to the roof and jumped. Because how could a person maintain sanity after seeing seven children murdered in front of their eyes? In the Gemara, it doesn't sound that way. It sounds like she did this with a clear mind. She knew exactly what she was doing. And that for whatever reason, it was mutter for her to be ma'abidus atzma l'das. Wow. You wonder, like, how... It's almost... Can you say it? You can say it, right? That must have been much easier than continuing to live. After seeing seven children murdered in front of her eyes, you know, the generation of the Holocaust, our grandparents' generation. What was so great about them that they rebuilt, the tzidkus of just surviving, and you know what kind of zechus that is when you suffer yisurin of the worst kinds of Gehenim. I don't know, just waking up the next morning when you've seen what they've seen, when you've lost what they've lost, to live with that. How a person goes on. Chaim Shmulevitz tells a story, and again, I hate to use the word story, where a woman had her two sons with her and the Nazis were taking the sons onto a train, and she begged the officer, please let me have my sons, don't take my sons away from me. And the officer said, cruelly, I'll give you one, pick one. And she grabbed one, the first one that she, I guess, when she saw, and she lifted her eyes and grabbed one, and the other one screamed, Mommy, why didn't you pick me? And she started, so she dropped the one that she had taken and grabbed the other one. Mommy, why didn't you take me? Why could you drop me? And the Nazi had his fun, so he grabbed both of them, took them on the train to their deaths. How does a woman wake up the next morning? How does a person live after they saw something like that? It's almost easier to be also legag v'naflu mesa. Yotza baskel v'yamra eim abanim semecha. She went up to Shemayim and Avram Avinu greeted her. Amavid atzma l'das doesn't have a chelik l'olam haba, but if you send seven messengers in advance like that, who are all nerag al kiddush Hashem, each of them with a pasuk on their lips, and numbers 2 through 7 knowing exactly what's at stake, and knowing what it's going to do to their mother, to see them get killed. Ema banim semecha. Another drasha on the pasuk Yalecha Ragnu Kalayom, Rabbi Shoban Levi Amar, Zomila, Shenitna Bashmini. The baby is very fragile when he's 1 week old. And nevertheless, we do bris mila. Mila bismana, baby's so tender. Some sofer says, yeah, but it's not dangerous because, like, you know, we've tried it like millions of times and it's okay. So some sofer writes, yeah, because the mitzvah protects us. But b'derech hateva, they should die. Lecho ragnu kalayo. Rav Shimon Lakish amar, elu talmid chacham shemarin hilcho shchita bi'atzman. Talmid chachamim that demonstrate halacha shchita on their own necks. Damrava kol mili lechzi inush b'nafshei. A person can demonstrate something on himself bar mishchita, except for shchita, v'davar acher and tzara'as. When you show rashes that look like tzara'as or whatever. It's interesting, with shechita, Rashi writes, why can't you demonstrate shechita on yourself? So I always thought, because it's, you know, like the Marsha says, that it's a bad mazel, it's an ayin hara, that you take a knife and you're slitting your own throat, like, you know, when you're trying to signal to a speaker to stop or whatever. Like, that's not a good, you know, al yiftach pel l'satan. If you can't even, like, al yiftach pel l'satan, you're not even supposed to say things. So for sure, you shouldn't do things. You know, make a motion or an action. But Rashi says not that way. Rashi says, no, because you have a shechita knife in your hand. And you might miss when you try to demonstrate it on yourself. One of my Talmidim came over to me this year. I don't remember when we were talking about Shechita. We learned the other day this year, so it could have come up. But he told me, he said, Rebbe, do you realize every time you do the Shechita thing, you do it on your own neck? I didn't even realize. I talk with my hands a lot, I guess. So I have Rashi to save me. I didn't have an actual knife in my hand, so you don't have to worry. But the Marsha says that it's a bad nozzle. Rav Nachum bar Yitzchak amar el tamid chacham shemisin atzman al divrei Torah. That halacha ragnu kalayom is the tamid chacham who kill themselves over divrei Torah. Kidra Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Tam Rav Shimon ben Lakish, ein divrei Torah miskaymin el b'misha meimis atzmo aleihem. Shnemar zos haTorah adam ki yamus ba'ohel. It's such a graphic language to describe the experience of Talmud Torah, that a person kills themselves over Talmud Torah. It means, probably, pas b'melech tochal, you know, darka shel Torah is a life of deprivation, of physical deprivation. It's not so in style nowadays. People expect that if they learn, that others should make sure that they live nicely. Mesiris nefesh in general is not so in style nowadays. We started realizing there's a whole thing in Mishpacha recently that they spoke about this, but we've realized it way before that, that there's a major lack of good people going into Jewish education, going into chinuch, because no one wants to struggle. The secret that they don't know is that just because you go to law school, it doesn't mean you're not going to struggle. that there's still a Ribbono Shel Olam that runs the world. But no one wants to have any Mesiris Nefesh. We have a choice. Alecha Ragnu Kol Hayom. We have a Gzeiras Misa, but we can choose that Gzeiras Misa by killing ourselves over Divrei Torah. In Divrei Torah, Meskayim El B'Misha Meimis Atzma Aleihem. We see the most impactful Torah comes from the places of the greatest suffering very often. Bavel is no picnic, and we get Talmud Bavli. It's a problem in our generation, just in general, that we feel like we can have whatever we want. You know, if I want it, then it's doable. There's no such thing as like, no, but you're from Jews, so you can't. I can have everything. I can do whatever I want. It's the entire culture. It's the entire attitude. Mesiris Nefesh. Different people are called upon for different levels of Mesiris Nefesh. But there is such a concept of Mesiris Nefesh. Now the Gemara continues to tell us about Chorban Beita, Rabbi Yochanan, Arbayim Sa'a, Kitzutze Tefillin, 40 Sa'a of Batim of Tefillin, Nimtu, Barashi, Aruge Beita, were found on the heads of the people who were killed in Beitar. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shmuel, Lama, Shalosh Kupos, 3 boxes, Shel Arboim, Arboim Sa'a, each one of 40 Sa'a. So it's 120 Sa'a of just of Tefillin. You know, like you visit Yad Vashem or so, you know, the Holocaust Museum in Washington, and you see just like, you know, the rooms full of shoes or jewelry, fillings, whatever they were able to take. And items of Kedusha that were confiscated, tefillin. It's a tragic picture. Growing up in South Shore, I don't know if they still have, I mean, they must still have it. They used to have on display in the lobby a Sefer Torah with a bullet hole through it. You see items of Kedusha from communities that were destroyed and that were killed. V'masnisa tana arbaim kupos shel shalosh si'in. That it was 40 boxes of 3 si'in each, which also comes out to 120. So v'lo pligi, says Gemara, the Braisa and Rabbi Yanai don't disagree. Meaning, Rabbi Yochanan said that there was only 40 sa'a of batei tefillin, and both the Braisa and Rabbi Yanai said it's 120. Just a question of how you divide the 120. The Braisa and Rabbi Yanai are talking about tefillin shel rosh, and the other are talking about tefillin shel yad. Rabbi Yochanan is talking about tefillin shel yad, which was smaller. Why? So apparently it used to be common that the Tefillin Shel Rosh was larger than the Tefillin Shel Yad. Tefillin Shel Rosh has 4 compartments to it. And Tefillin Shel Yad has only 1 compartment to it. Even though it has all the same words, it's all in one scroll. So maybe they were able to fit that one scroll into a much smaller area than a 4 compartment Tefillin Shel Rosh. It takes a lot longer. And it takes a much larger box. The Rambam writes a minag that we don't have anymore. You know, our minag is that we don't put on tefillin on Tisha B'Av in the morning, shachris. We put on in the afternoon. It's like Avelus Yom Rishon, there's no tefillin, but in Yom Sheni, if there are no Parav Chadashos, you put on tefillin. So the assumption is that the entire Tisha B'Av we're sitting Shiva, but in the afternoon we're no longer in Avelus Yom Rishon, so we put on tefillin. But the Rambam writes a minag that they used to put on Tisha B'Av only Tefillin Shel Yad and not Tefillin Shel Rosh, which is an odd minhag. I think maybe the explanation I saw of Pinchas Friedman points out, a possible explanation of that minhag. He said you have to think about what Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh represent. Tefillin Shel Rosh, the Gemara in Brachas says, V'ro kolame ya'aretz ki shem Hashem nikro alecha, elu Tefillin Shel Barosh. The whole world sees that Hashem has a relationship with us. That's the Tefillin Shel Barosh. That Shem Hashem is Nikra Alecha. That's the Tefillin Shel Rosh. The world sees our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Vay l'chala'os v'lo la'acherim, that it's just for you to see, not for others to see. That's Tefillin Shel Yad. We have two relationships with the Ribbono Shel Olam. We have a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam where the world can sometimes see that relationship. The world can see that the Ribbono Shel Olam is being good to us, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is being kind to us, that we are His chosen people. But unfortunately, most of the time, that's not been the relationship. The relationship is, we know it's there. Meitzitz min acharakim, we know that Hashem is not coming out, He's not letting everyone see, but we know that He still loves us. We know that He feels connected to us, that He's protecting us. We know it's there. The world doesn't see it. That's Tefillin Shel Yad. They represent... Tefillin Shel Yad is the Tefillin of Galus. Tefillin Shel Rosh is the Tefillin of Geula. That's the Gemara in Chagiga. Is the air conditioning still on? Am I the only one getting hot? Probably shouldn't have said that. Now everyone's going to get hot. The Gemara in Chagiga says that there was a debate. Who was it? Rabbi Shua ben Chananya and Amin. And the rules of the debate were, there was only one rule. You know, they always have to, rules of a debate are very important, as we discover in presidential elections. Exactly how many minutes you have, and, you know, whatever, and what, exactly how many questions, who asks the questions. So there was only one rule in this debate, and the rule was that no one was allowed to use any words. You couldn't talk. It was all in pantomime. That mimed the whole debate. So the Min turns his head away from Rabbi Shua ben Chananya. Rabbi Shua ben Chananya stretches out his arm. So the Melech says to the Min, okay, now time to explain yourself. What did you do? He said, I showed that Hashem turns His face away from Klal Yisrael, that He's no longer connected to the Jewish people. And he said, okay, and what did Rabbi Shua ben Chananya respond? He said, I don't know. He was stretching out his arm. I have no idea what that's about. So he says, a guy doesn't even understand the other side of the debate. You know, you're an unqualified debater, and he had him killed. But he asked Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, Taka, what was your response? So my response was, Od Yado Netuya, that Hashem's arm is still stretched out over us. So says Rabbi Pinchas Friedman, it's exactly Tefillin Shel Rosh, Tefillin Shel Yad. The Min are only able to see the Tefillin Shel Rosh. He turns his head away because he doesn't see the Ro Kolame Aretz Ki Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha. In times of persecution, they don't see that Shem Hashem is Nikra Alecha, that we're still connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam. They can't see that. But we know Od Yado Netuya. It may just be between us. It may be Keneged Our Lev. It may be just between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. And maybe others don't see, and maybe others don't know. But there's the Ava HaMasateres, the hidden love that Hashem has. Baal HaTanya talks about the hidden love that Hashem has for us, that maybe others can't see, but we know it's there. So that's the Tefillin Shel Yad and the Tefillin Shel Rosh. Tefillin Shel Yad is when everything comes together. It's one parsha. Because unfortunately, in suffering, that's what it takes for Klal Yisrael to come together. So anyway, the Gemara tells more about Churban Bayis Rishon. Amar Rabbi Yasi, Arba Kabin Moach Nimtzu Al Evan Achas. There were four kav of brain matter of Jews that were killed on one stone. Ula Amar Tishas kav, 9 kav of moach that was found. All these numbers mean something. You know, I don't know what, I don't know, but the, you know, there's something about 4 kav, there's something about 9 kav, it means something. This is Agadat HaGemara, I don't know what pshat is. But it means something. Probably has something to do with the ratio of the number of people killed that we described before, from the Vizradon. Amar Rav Kahana v'itema Shila Bar Mari, my kra'a, what's the pasuk that's merames at the Bavliim? Smashed the heads of Jewish people during Churban Bayis Rishon to the point that brain matter seeped out. Bas Bavel Hashaduda Ashrei Sheyishalim Lach. David HaMelech is Mekalel the Bnei Bavel that they should get their just due for what they did to Klal Yisrael during the times of the Churban. And the pasuk says Ashrei Sheyochas V'nipetz Tzolayich Alasela. Describing taking the heads of children and smashing it against a rock. Well, why is David davening for such a gruesome punishment? Because it's Mida Kenegan Mida. It must be that's what the Bnei Bavel did to the Jewish people. So David HaMelech davens that they should meet the same end. Bnei Tzion Ayikarim HaMesulayim Bapaz, the pasuk says in Eicha, my misulon bapaz, why does it say that they're praised bapaz? It sounds like through paz, through some sort of gem. Why not mi paz, that they're even better? Ilim b'davim mechapi b'piza, that they were covered in gold ornaments and jewelry. V'amri d'bei Rabbi Shila, but in the basement of Rabbi Shila, they taught tarti mit matkali istiri piza nochus bialma, that there are two weights of paz that came down into the world, chadab romi v'chadab kuli alma, and Rome took half of the gold of the whole world, and the other was split amongst the whole rest of the world. So Romans aren't going to be impressed with a lot of gold. They're the gold center of the world. So that can't be that the Bnei Tzion were special because they had tachshite paz. Romans aren't impressed with that. El shahayu. Shahayu meganin es apaz biyofyan. No, it means that the Bnei Tzion were so beautiful that they made paz, they made this golden jewelry look like nothing in comparison to their inherent beauty. Meikara chashivit ramayi havunakti bilyona digushpanka. The chashva people in Rome, the noblemen of Rome, when they wanted their wives to conceive good-looking children, they would take these beautiful decorations and umishamshi arisayu, and they'd be mishamish mita while looking at these beautiful things. The assumption is, and this is an assumption throughout Chazal, that what one looks at, or what one thinks of, rather, during the time of Tashmish Shemitah is going to have an impact on the child. That's why the Gemara says in Brachos that Rabbi Yochanan used to sit by the Shari Tevila so that women could see the Kedusha of Rabbi Yochanan on their way out of the mikveh, because it's a Lel Ona on the night of Tevila. So they're thinking of Kedusha of holy children. Mikan ve'elach, from the time of the Churban, where they capture all these Jewish people, Maisu b'nei Yisrael, the Romans would bring Jews that were more beautiful than all of their gold ornaments, v'asu b'kari d'parayu, and they would tie them onto the bedposts, u'mishamshi, and they would have tashma shamita, because the beauty of the Jewish people dwarfed the beauty of whatever else they were able to produce. Somebody chad chavre, one Jew said to his friend, ha hecha ksiva, Where does this tzara appear in the Torah? Right? Where in the Tochacha does it say this? It's like so demeaning, so demoralizing, so animalistic. So Amar Lei, He said, "No, it is in the Torah. In the Tocha and Dvarim Chavches, Gam Kol Chali V'Kol Makar Shalom Kasuv B'Sefer HaTorah Hazeh." There's going to be something so disgusting that the Torah doesn't even spell it out. Samar Kam Rachitu Miduch Teplan. How far am I in my learning from that pasuk? Amalei ingad, a little bit, pustu palga, like a column and a half away. Amalei, so he said, imatay legabei, lo etzrichalach. If I would have gotten to that pasuk, I wouldn't need you. I wouldn't need your help, because I would have known that that's what the Torah is being merames to. I don't know what that represents. Meaning, I didn't know that pasuk, because that's why I needed to ask you. But if I would have learned that much more, then I would have seen that, you know, like, I guess it's, you know, I thought I heard it all. But you haven't really. There's always more. There's always more that you haven't heard. Am Rabbi Dom Shmuel, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. My dechsiv, what does the pasuk mean in Eicha? In the third parak of Eicha, Eini Yolo Lenafshi Mikol Benos Iri. The third parak of Eicha is the longest parak. This is the pasuk in Aleph. All the parakim of Eicha are 22 pesukim, and they're all in Aleph Beis, except for the third parak is 22 pesukim times 3, because it's Aleph Beis times 3. Fifth parak is not exactly in Aleph Beis, not at all in Aleph Beis, but it's also 22 pesukim, so it represents Aleph Beis in some way. What does the pasuk mean that I cried over the fact that I remain alone from all the Benos Iri, from all the daughters of my city? So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Darshan, this about himself, that all the children that were in Beitar were killed except for him. And he describes how many children there were. Arba males, Batei Knesios, Hoyu B'Krach Beitar. 400 shuls in Beitar. B'Kol Achas V'Achas, Hoyu B'Arba males, Melamdei Tinokos. Each shul had 400 Melamdei Tinokos. They used to... The Malamdei Tinokos were set up in the shuls. They didn't have like yeshiva buildings. It was one building fund for each family, right? I guess. V'kol echad ve'echad, right? Well, the shuls very often are empty during the daytime. It's, I guess, unfortunate, right? Should have kailim learning in shuls. They should have should use beautiful buildings for Torah. Rav Aaron Kahn told me that his shul, of the 24 hours of the day, 22 hours there are people learning in the shul. I think he said from 2:30 to 4:30 a.m. there's no one learning in the shul. The whole rest of the time there are people learning in the shul. That's pretty good. But they used to have the Melamdei Tinokos learning in the shul. Rav Salvechik said that growing up they didn't have a yeshiva, they had Melamdei Tinokos, and they would rent space wherever they can get space. So he said he remembers learning from his Lubavitcher Melamed, that's who he was in. His father was a rav in a Lubavitcher town, which is also a fascinating story in its own right, how someone with the last name Soloveitchik became a rav in a Lubavitcher town. It's a maisa. But he, with his Lubavitcher Melamed, he remembers he was sitting in the back of a carpentry shop. They're banging away, building furniture. But that's where they had. That's what they had. And you know what? They learned okay. Now, if the air conditioning is not perfect, it's like the kids can't learn. Can't do this. Impossible. It's not impossible. Maybe you'll learn even better. As I sit here complaining about the air conditioning. In Keli, our base medrash is right next door to the woodworking thing. So I always think of that Rav Salvechik every time, like I'm middle of giving shir and I hear bang, bang, bang. Oh, okay. Well, should be Yizuchus. V'kalechad ve'echad, and all these Malamdei Tinokos, they all had 400 students. That is not the ideal class size. 400 students. The Gemara Babasra Daf Chafalav tells us that 25 is the max. You're not supposed to do more than 25. They must have been very easy students. Ukshaya Oyev Nichnas Hashem, when the enemy came into Beitar, and they beat them with their sticks. And when the Anshei Beitar came, they wrapped them in their books, Vitzisum Be'esh, and they lit them on fire, which seems to be a misa, mishuna of choice of our enemies, to make it abundantly clear that the battle against the Jewish people is a battle against the Ribbono Shel Olam. Tan Rabbi Meiser Reb Shuben Chananya Shalach Kra Gadol Shabrami Reb Shuben Chananya went to a large town in Rome. Omru Lo Tinok Echad Yesh Beveis HaAsurim. They said that there is a beautiful child in jail. Yefei Einayim V'Tov Ro'i, and he's gorgeous. Ukvitzosav Sedurus Oteltalim. He has these beautiful curly long locks of hair. Must have been Chassidish a child. Halach va'amar al Pesach Beis HaAsurim. So Reb Shuben Chananya stood by the Pesach Beis HaAsurim where this child was captured to see if the kid was a good student. So Amar. So the Reb Shuben Chananya asked, "Mi nasan the Meshisa Yaakov Yisrael levozizim?" He used the pasuk in Yeshayahu to converse. Who did this to the Jewish people? Lana asatinok va'amar. The child responded with the end of the pasuk, "Halo Hashem zu chatanu lo." We sinned to Hashem. That's what caused this terrible bizayon. V'lo avu bedrachav aloch, and we didn't follow in the dark of Hashem. V'lo shamu b'taraso. Rabbi Shuvin Chananya heard this. Amar muftachni bo shemora hora'a b'Yisrael. I know that he's going to be a great posuk in the Jewish people. How did he know? I mean, what about psak halacha did he see in this child? So the Be'er Yosef, Rav Yosef Salant, writes that the chachma was that he didn't stop in the middle of the pasuk. Halo Hashem zu chatanu lo alone would have been the answer, but he said v'lo avu bedrach v'aloch v'lo shamu b'tarosa. He knew that you're not allowed to stop at emtz pasuk. But he wasn't worried about starting in the middle of the pasuk because you don't have to. There's no issue of starting in the middle of the pasuk. So it was a halachic issue that he paskined on the spot about how to respond. It's a very halachic way to read an agadah to Gemara. So he said, "I see this guy is going to be a mara harai. He knows halacha really well. So few people know halacha." Rabbi Reisman always talks about that. How important it is to learn halacha, just to know certain basically. He said that once when he was a young man, Rabbi Reisman said he was a young man, he was davening in a shul, not his own shul, and a man says to him, an alter yid that was sitting next to him, says to him, "I could see that you're a Talmud Chacham." So he said, "Kamuvan, yeah, of course." What made you say that? So the guy said, "Because after Vanachna Lo Neda, you stood up, and I once heard a Rebbe tell me that if you see someone who knows to stand up in Tachnun after Vanachal Neda, after those first three words, then you know that he's a Talmud Chacham because you know that he learns halacha." So this was pre-art school. Nowadays it just means that he has an art school sitter, that he knew how to read the instructions. But he's got to learn halacha. So he said, "I see this child learned halacha." Yeah. Or it could be that he had this perspective, that in order to be a Mora Hara, be a Yisrael, a person requires broad perspective. You can't just see the little detail of what's right in front of you or even the question that was asked of you. You have to know the whole story behind the question. You have to know what wasn't asked. You have to be able to see broader, bigger picture. And this child was able to see, instead of just complaining, he knew that it was because of a lack of Avodas Hashem. Havodah, Rabbi Shuvah Mechanani takes a lashon shvua, she'nizaz mikanat she'efdana b'chol moment she'poskin lo, whatever the money they demand for this child, I'll pay it. Omru lo zaz mishamat she'bedo b'momen arbe. He paid a lot of money to get him out against the halacha, really, the Rishon Masakasha. The halacha is not allowed to be podei b'yos mikdei damav, because then they'll take more captives, because it will be a lucrative business. So there's Kedei Damav. You're not allowed to pay more than Kedei Damav. All right, so Rishonim struggled with that question. They had that Shaila when the plane was hijacked in the 1970s, when Rav Huttner was on the plane that was hijacked, so the Talmidim Chai in Berlin wanted to be po to him. They wanted to offer whatever amount of money, you know, I don't know whoever the big players are in Chai in Berlin. Fruchtender, or whatever, I don't know who it was, but they wanted to, you know, whatever it took to get Rav Huttner out. And they say Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky paskened at the time that you're not allowed to negotiate with terrorists. That even though Gadol Ador you're allowed to do that with, but Bishas Mulchama you're not allowed to do it, and it's a Shas Mulchama. It didn't matter because the State Department also paskened you're not allowed to negotiate with terrorists. So it wasn't even Shayach. But I just went, I took the guys from the Keli Masmidim program. We went last, a couple of days ago, we went to Camp Morris. I was driving around the area. I was on the way to Woodburn, and I realized I drove right by Camp Morris. I said, it's like right here. Camp Morris is Chaim Berlin's camp. So I'm like, there must be some big Talmid Chachamim there, right? That my I was like, look around. Are there Talmid Chachamim in the neighborhood that we can go visit? So it turns out that the Rosh Yeshiva of Chaim Berlin, Rav Aaron Schechter, is in Camp Morris. He's 94 years old. He comes to Camp Morris, and so we found a connection, brought the chevra there to meet with Rav Aaron Schechter. And it was a very inspiring thing. You know, I told the guys, look, I don't know how lucid he is. I don't know. You know, he was lucid. He was able to speak. You know, but he spoke in like a Chaim Berlin kind of language, so none of us understood it. But like, I said, you know, there's something about seeing 9+ decades of Amelus Peteira with your own eyes, even if nothing else. Just 9 decades of Amelus Peteira. 94 years old, shook everyone's hand, made some jokes, some comments. So he apparently mellowed in his old age. He was a firebrand in his earlier years, but 9+ decades of Amelus Peteira. So why am I mentioning this? Because I didn't know much about Rav Aaron Schechter other than that he's a member of the Moetzes and that he's Rosh Yeshiva Chaim Berlin and that, you know, in his younger years he was quite a personality as well, and that he's an Adam Gadol B'Torah. So I have a good friend, Rabbi Moshe Bamberger, who's a Mashkiach in Lander College, who's a Talmud of his, used to learn B'Chavrusa with him, Musar Seder. So I said, can you do me a favor, record a voice note, just like a minute, describing Rav Aaron Schechter, so that I could play it for the Talmidim and they could know who they're going to see. So he sent me like a 5-minute voice note, and it was beautiful. I mean, what a beautiful description. He described like how when they would learn together, every paragraph of Mesillas Yesharim or whatever sefer they were learning, he was such a goon that every paragraph he would come out with a chiddush. Whatever, it's like, it was like computer, you input the information and a chiddush comes out. Every paragraph, it was unbelievable. He said he'd never seen anything like it. And one of the things he said is how mekusher he was to Rav Huttner, how connected he was to Rav Huttner. He said that when Rav Huttner was, when Rav Huttner's plane was hijacked, Rav Aaron Schechter, right? That what year was that? 1976? I think it was like before I was born. They said that Rav Aaron Schechter at that time, so his beard beforehand was like black. And then in a few days, it turned totally white. Like, miraculously. Hareini kiven shivim shana. He was so mekusher to Rav Huttner, it tore him apart. Rav Huttner chose him to be the Rosh Yeshiva Chaim Berlin, to split, you know, between Rabbi David, his son-in-law, and Rav Aaron Schechter, to be the Rosh Yeshiva. Rabbi David in Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Aaron Schechter in the mothership, you know, in Brooklyn. So anyway, so you're not supposed to be poed to people with more than their technical value, unless they're a Gadol Adar, but I guess he saw that this child is going to be a Gadol Adar. Umanu, and who was this child? Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. This was Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. Wow. Amar Rabbi Damarav, Maisim no bitos Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. Oh, we're going to read about this tomorrow. We're kind of coming to the end over here. There is a story of the son and the daughter of Rishol ben Elisha, Shanishbu l'shnei Adonim, that were captured by two masters, Liyamim nizdavgu shneim b'makom echad. They were both in one place. Zeh omer yesh li evet she'ein biyofio b'chal olam. This master who owned the boy said, I have an evet that's the most beautiful evet you've ever seen. Zeh omer yesh li shivcha she'ein b'chal olam kulo giyofio. I have the most beautiful female servant that I captured. Amru bov and asiyim zelazel. Let's go marry them off to each other. When nechalik bavlados, and we'll split the kids. Chnisim lecheder. They brought him into a room. Zayashav bekeren zavazeh. Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol's son stood in one corner, Rizu Yashu Bekaret Zav Zah, and the daughter stood in the other corner, Zah Omer Ani Kohen Ben Kohanim Gedolim, Mama Kohen, the child of Kohanim Gedolim, Esa Shivcha, this is who my Shidduch is going to be, a Shivcha. Vizosa Meris, and the daughter said, Ani Kohen Es Bas Kohanim Gedolim, I'm also Miuchas Enosi Le'Ever, I'm going to marry an Ever, Vachu Kalalai, they both cried all night. Kevin Shalom Amud HaShachar, when Amud HaShachar happened, Hikiru Zeh Zeh V'Naflu Zeh El Zeh, they realized who it was. They fell upon each other, V'go'u B'V'chia, and they cried out, Atche Yatsu Nishmas, until the Neshamas left them, Ma'aleh and Konin Yirmiyahu. And it's about them that Yirmiyahu says in the first parak of Eicha, Al'eila Ani V'chia, Eini Eini Yorda Mayim. L'chor, they should have been happy. No? They were saved from an Isra Chamer of being with their own sibling. And now they found each other. And they could pretend that they're living like Ish V'Ishto, but they won't do any Averos. Everything will be good. The Ben Yoyada says that their Tzara, that they cried so badly about, was that he realized who he had just called a Shivcha, and she realized who she had just called an Eved. And they couldn't live with the fact that they called each other such names by mistake. Spoke before about Lashon Hara, Zonas Devarim, that they would say such a not complimentary name. Sometimes among siblings, I heard that in some homes, children call each other even less complimentary names. And they don't think twice about it. But to be pogam in who their family is, you know, there's something very valuable about family and about protecting the dignity of family. Respecting one's family, defending one's family. I always marveled at the Feinstein family, not only because, you know, it's Rav Moshe and his children, but, you know, they don't all share the same opinions. But you'll never, never would hear a bad word from any one of them about any other one of them. Even if they disagree about things, whatever, it's family is family is family. Salvatrix are similar in that way, usually. One has to protect. Rav Asher Weiss has that beautiful vart. He says, the Gemara says, Hai Alma Kebehi Lula Damya, that the world is like a wedding hall. So he says, why is the world like a wedding hall? Why is life like a wedding hall? He says, because a wedding is called for 4 o'clock. And whatever, the last Sheva of the Sheva Brachos is made at whatever, 9:30, 10 o'clock. Who's there at 4 o'clock? Only your family. And then hundreds of people will come and go and come and go. And who's there at 10 o'clock? Only your family. Hai Alma Kebehi Lula Damya. You come into this world, you're surrounded by family. Hundreds of people will come in and out of your life, in and out of your life. And at the end, who's going to be with you? It's going to be your family. They couldn't bear the thought that they had said not nice things about their family. There was a woman named Tzafnas Bas Peniel. Tzafnas Shakal Tzofen Biyofir. She was called Tzafnas because everyone gazed at her beauty. She was so beautiful. Bas Peniel, Bito Shel Kohen Gadol, Shashimish Lefnai V'Lefnim, and she was the daughter of a Kohen Gadol who was Meshamish Lefnai V'Lefnim, Shenis Alil Ba Shabai Kol HaLaila. She was captured by a guy and took advantage of her all night. L'machril Bisho Shevachalukim. He dressed her up in 7 garments. L'tzia L'machril, and he took her out to sell her as a Shivcha. Ba Adam Echad Shoyim Mechor B'Yosar, and a disgusting person came. Amar Lo, the Mechawar person, said to the captor, Harenias Yofya, I'd like to see her beauty, meaning undress her. Amar Lo, he said, Reka, imatarot alikach kach, if you want to buy her, buy her. Shein ki Yofya b'chol olam kulo, I'm guaranteeing she's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. Amalo the Mechor said, Afal PK, and I still want to see if Shita Shisha Chaluk, and he took off the first six layers, Ushvi Karata, Vinis Palsha Be'efer. And the seventh one, she just tore and rolled around in the dirt. And Vamral Amral the Funav, she said in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, Imaleinu Lo Chasta, if you don't have Rachmanos on our cover, Al Kedusha Shimcha Gibor Lama Lo Tachos, at least have Rachmanos on your own name, Vala Koni Yirmiyo, and that's what Yirmiyo refers to. Basami Chigrisak Vispal Shibe Efer. Evel Yachr Asilucha Mispei Tamrurim Kipisom Yavo Hashodid Aleinu. Alayich Lo Nemar Ela Aleinu Kaviyoch Lo Laiva Alayich Bashodid. It's not only to us, it's to Hashem. Hashem is saying that I'm suffering together with you. Sometimes one of the matters that's lost on us about how terrible Galus is that the Shechinta B'Galus also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also in Galus. And we have to be misabled about the fact that Hashem doesn't have a makom for Ashras HaShechina in this world. Amar Avidom Rav, Mai Dichsiv V'Ashku Gever Uveso V'Ishna Achlaso. A person who saw the wife of his master and he wanted to marry her, and the master was not his Torah Rebbe, it was his carpentry teacher. One time the master needed money. Send your wife, Etzli, to me, Valvena, and I'll lend you money. Shigar Ishto Etzlo, he sent the wife, Shoi Ima, the Talmud stayed with the master, with the master's wife, Shloshi Yam, for 3 days. Kadam Uba Etzlo, Talmud came, went to the master, Amar Lo, Ishi Shishigarti Lach, Heichon Hi. I sent my wife so you can lend her money. Where is she? Amar Lo, he said, Ani Petarti Al Yalter. I gave her the money and I let her go right away. I heard that young boys were starting up with her on the road. Amarlo, Ma'esa. What should I do to her if she's messing around with young boys? So the student said, Matashame la Tsasi? Girsha. If you listen to me, I would say to be Megarish her. She's cheating on you like this. Amarlo, he said, I can't be Megarish her. Ksubas Maruba. You know how much I would owe her? Her ksuba's overwhelming. If a woman actually cheats on her husband, she loses her ksuba. But this was a false accusation. So Amalo, so the Talmud said, Ani alvecha, I'll lend you the money, v'teinla, ksubas, and then you can pay the ksuba. Amad zevi gersha. So the master went and he divorced her. Halachu nasa'a. The Talmud went and married her. Kivin she gives mana when it came time for the master to pay up his debt, lo hayla leparo, and he didn't have any money. Amar lo, the Talmud said, Bova seimi b'chovcha, you could work for me to work off the debt. Vahayu hein, and this Talmud and his wife, who used to be the wife of the master, were yoshvim va'ochlin v'shosin, living it up, enjoying life. Vuha ya'omir mashka aleihen, and he was, the master was forced to serve them, vayudma'os, noshos me'enav, and tears were dripping from his eyes, v'nofos b'chosei, and falling into their cups, v'al'osos sha'a. And at that moment, there was a terrible kitrug in Shemayim, nechtam gzardin. That's when the gzardin on the Churban happened. V'amrila, and some say, al shtei psilos b'narechad, it's the fact that two men were with this one woman, and they violated the Yisra v'eshes ish, but that's where the gzardin was sealed. A total disregard for the feeling of another person. To take advantage of another person like that, it's not only that we don't go out of our way to be helpful and kind, but to be completely callous in how we treat other people. That's where the Gzar Din comes for Churban. That's where the lack of Chibur in Klal Yisrael, the Lapiansky points out, that whenever you have two words that have similar letters, it either means that they are similar to each other or that one is the antithesis of the other. Chibur and Churban are the antithesis one to the other. When there is Chibur, there is no Churban. When we lack the Chibur in Klal Yisrael to this degree, well then there's going to be, that's when there was going to be Churban. Okay, that's the end of the Agadah. I'm not going to go back to the beginning. We'll stop there.